You're listening to Central Time. I'm Judith Sears Poisson.
And I'm Kate Archer Kent. Coming up after 7 on Ken Rudin's Political Junkie, Ken's guests navigate through all the tornadoes swirling around the Trump White House, and a biographer explains why President James K. Polk may be the most successful one-termer in the nation's history. That's tonight after 7 on the Ideas Network.
First, the United States launched 59 Tomahawk missiles as part of an airstrike in Syria last night. The strike was ordered by President Donald Trump after Syrian forces launched a chemical weapons attack on civilians earlier this week.
The move marks a significant change in the United States' approach to the ongoing conflict in Syria and could mark a new chapter in U.S. foreign relations, particularly with Russia.
Nora Bensahel joins us now to talk about this development and what it could mean for the U.S. moving forward. She's a distinguished scholar in residence at American University. Nora, welcome back to Central Time.
Thank you for having me.
So let's establish something right up front, because there might be some confusion. There are U.S. troops currently in Syria, but they've been there for a while in the fight against ISIS, correct?
That's right. They've been there to help some of the rebel forces that are countering ISIS and other terrorist groups, but the U.S. has not been involved in any way in Syria that has been explicitly designed to affect the regime of Bashar al-Assad.
And this airstrike last night was against a military base that is controlled by the Assad government.
Yes, that's right. And it is in response to the chemical weapons attack that we saw earlier in the week. U.S. officials had what they believed was convincing evidence that the that chemical weapons attack originated or was at least in part supported by aircraft based at that airbase.
And here's President Trump's announcement last night.
Tonight I ordered a targeted military strike on the airfield in Syria from where the chemical attack was launched. It is in this vital national security interest of the United States to prevent and deter the spread and use of deadly chemical weapons. There can be no dispute that Syria used banned chemical weapons, violated its obligations under the Chemical Weapons Convention, and ignored the urging of the UN Security Council. Years of previous attempts at changing Assad's behavior have all failed, and failed very dramatically.
So, Nora, what do you think this airstrike demonstrates as far as where the U.S. is on this event?
Well, I'm not sure we know yet. I mean, the parameters of this airstrike were very carefully restricted. It is, was just limited to one airbase. All 59 Tomahawk missiles that were launched attacked this one base, nothing outside of it. And it remains to be seen whether this is a one-off, a retaliation just for using chemical weapons, or whether this signals a broader shift in U.S. policy. It's not at all clear yet from what the president has said which one of those two it will be.
And tell us a little bit about those Tomahawk missiles. What kind of capacity do they have?
They're very powerful missiles. They're launched from warships, from destroyers that were based in the eastern Mediterranean, and they're very accurate. They are precision-guided, so they are very good at hitting exactly what they were intended to hit. The United States has used these missiles in conflicts before. If you remember, President Clinton in 1998 launched some strikes against Iraq for having not let the nuclear weapons inspectors into the country. Those were also Tomahawk missiles, for example. That was a 3 or 4 day limited strike.
And there were 59 Tomahawks launched last night. What kind of price tag do those come with?
They are not cheap. They are very expensive. If cost were the only concern, there would have been a consideration of flying manned aircraft in, because they also drop precision weapons but are much less expensive. But, of course, that's not the only consideration. The Syrians have a very strong air defense network that would put any manned aircraft at risk, and that's why almost certainly the military strike options involved these Tomahawk missiles instead of manned aircraft, where pilots could be in jeopardy.
So, Nora, Russia is a close ally of Bashar al-Assad's, and Secretary of State Rex Tillerson will be visiting Russia next week. Now, Russian Prime Minister Dmitry Medvedev said the action last night was, quote, one step away from clashing with the Russian military. So what are the potential risks of this action in light of U.S.-Russian relations?
Well, there are some narrow risks in the military sense, and then there's what it means more broadly. In the very narrow sense, what Medvedev said was right. There were Russian personnel who operate out of that base that are helping Syrian forces, not necessarily complicit in this particular chemical weapons attack, but they are based there. The United States and Russia, for a number of years, have had what's known as a deconfliction agreement, that when they put their airplanes up in Syrian airspace, they talk to each other to prevent any sort of accident or jets flying into each other if they don't know, you know, that a Russian airplane is in the air or an American airplane is in the air, for example. And so one of the things that Russia has done in reaction to the U.S. strikes last night is to suspend that agreement. So there no longer is sharing of information about how Russian aircraft are operating in the air and U.S. aircraft are operating in the air. That contains some element of danger. If they do not know that the planes from the other country are in the air, the potential for some sort of accident goes up. And, of course, how that would escalate is very difficult to predict, even if it were purely an accident. The broader question it raises about U.S.-Russian relations, however, really has to do with the kind of relationship that Russia may have believed it was going to have with President Trump, someone who is, you know, seen as praising Vladimir Putin repeatedly throughout the campaign and in the early days of his presidency as well. This action is directly against Russia's interests in Syria. The Russians have made that very clear in their reaction. And so, you know, there may be a recalculation in Russia about what, you know, they may be able to get out of a President Trump and how he will react in ways that may or may not be in their interest in the future.
And Nora, I've seen that the Russians have been floating a theory that Assad did not use chemical weapons against Syrian civilians earlier in the week. Instead, they're saying that government forces hit a rebel-held facility that held the components of chemical weapons and that the impact set those chemical weapons off. Does that theory hold water?
It's really hard to see how that could possibly be. The air base where these strikes seem to have originated from are in government-controlled territory, and they are known to contain some stores of sarin. H.R. McMaster, who is the National Security Advisor, made clear in his statement last night that they were very deliberate in what they targeted on the air base where those Tomahawk missiles were launched, because they do believe that there are still stores of sarin on that air base in government-held territory, and they didn't want to accidentally disperse those stores.
Nora Bensahel is with us now. She's a distinguished scholar in residence at the School of International Service at American University. And she's with us to talk about the airstrikes carried out last night against the Assad regime in Syria by the U.S. military.
And you can join the conversation. What reaction do you have to President Trump's decision to conduct airstrikes in Syria? Do you think the U.S. should be involved in the Syrian civil war? What questions do you have about this decision? Give us a call at 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234. Or leave a comment on the Central Time Facebook page.
We'll continue this conversation here on Central Time after this short break.
This is Central Time. I'm Kate Archer-Kent.
And I'm Judith Sears-Poisson. We're continuing our conversation about the airstrikes conducted by the U.S. military last night in Syria, following the Syrian government's use of chemical weapons against their own civilians earlier this week. And we're speaking with Nora Bensahel. She's a distinguished scholar in residence at the School of International Service at American University.
And we'd like to hear from you. What do you think about the decision to conduct airstrikes? This retaliatory strike on behalf of Syrian civilians comes while President Trump's travel and immigration ban is held up in court. Do you think that this new position of the president's should move him to loosen the restrictions on Syrian refugees that he has been pursuing? Give us a call at 800-642-1234 or leave a comment on the Central Time Facebook page.
So, Nora, do we know if President Trump reached out to other countries in advance about taking this military action?
I believe there were a couple of other countries that were notified that we were going to do this, although it was made very clear that the U.S. did not wish to have any Allied participation. I believe the British were among them that volunteered assistance and were told that the United States would be conducting this as a unilateral military operation.
And you did mention earlier, Nora, that there had been Russian personnel at this particular base, but my understanding is that the U.S. let Russia know 90 minutes before the strike, so they could actually get their people out.
That's right. And what it probably also did was tipped off the Syrians that the strike was coming, because it's almost guaranteed that the Russians would have let the Syrians know about that. That's not necessarily didn't necessarily undermine the military purpose of the operation. The purpose was to help deter future usage and to destroy some of the capabilities that were used in those attacks.
And do you think that members of Congress were caught off guard by this action?
Well, I think many people were caught off guard by action because it is a direct about face from a very consistent principle and position that Trump has held since long before he was president, which is that we should not be intervening in the Syrian civil war and taking sides in, whether Bashar al-Assad stays in power. He was very critical of President Obama in 2013 when he was thinking about launching airstrikes against in retaliation for a chemical weapons attack then. As we know, President Obama decided not to do that, but Trump came out very strongly against it. Trump campaigned on a much less internationalist view of U.S. foreign policy, saying we should prioritize actions at home and not get involved in the world's problems. And even within the past few days, had said that the policy of the United States would no longer be to seek regime change in Syria. That had been the policy of the Obama administration, although they had not taken any military action to pursue that objective. It was still the stated policy of the United States. And so this direct about-face is a remarkable change in a very short period of time as a response to the chemical weapons attack. And for that reason, I think many in Congress, as well as many Americans, may have been surprised by this action.
Let's go to our callers now, and Peter in Madison is up first. Hi, Peter.
Hi. I want to say I think Trump's doing this for political purposes, and I hope that this is just he's doing it for political purposes and there's not ultimately going to be some prolonged war where the United States intervenes in Syria the same way we did in Libya and the same way we did in Iraq. I saw this interview where Assad was being interviewed back in 2006 by Kristi Amanpour. And basically, even back then, she asked the question, basically, the United States government has wanted to have regime change in Syria since at least 2006. I hope that Trump doesn't continue with this policy.
All right. Thanks for that call, Peter. And Nora, the U.S. officials are saying that this is a one and done military action. But how much do you believe that?
Well, there's really no way of knowing at this point, right, whether this is embedded in a larger strategy that the United States may pursue now about not just Syria, but about the Middle East more broadly, because Syria does not stand on its own. It's very tied to Russia. It's very tied to Iran. So, decisions about Syria have regional implications, too. But we just don't know. It is entirely possible that this is the extent of what the U.S. reaction will be, and that if Assad doesn't use chemical weapons again, we will not take any further military action. But because this was such a dramatic change in what the Trump administration had said it would do as recently as last week, I think it's really too soon to know exactly what's going to happen next. Although, Peter said in his call, a lot of Americans who voted for Trump did so in part because they opposed what the United States had been doing in terms of getting involved in major military activities abroad. If the president does want to change his strategy, that is a political issue that he will certainly have to contend with.
We're talking about last night's U.S. airstrikes on a military base in Syria in retaliation for a chemical attack by the Assad government on civilians earlier this week. You can join the conversation by calling 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234. And, Nora, let's go back to our callers, and Lauren in Burlington is up. Hi, Lauren.
Hi. I wanted to mention, I used to be quite the dove and very much peacenik and everything, and as I've gotten older, I've realized that there's a lot more into play, and sometimes just wanting peaceful negotiations doesn't always happen, depending on who you're having those negotiations with. I voted for Trump. I've been a lifelong Democrat. I actually switched, and the reason I switched is because our foreign policy in the last few years has really put us at a disadvantage when trying to deal with the world's activities. Russia has just been basically run roughshod over us, and we've almost kind of become a laughing stock. So part of the reason that I voted for Trump, and basically the main reason that I voted for him, was because I knew he was going to be tough. And last night showed exactly, even though it was a reverse from what he said he was going to do, I think when showing the grave images that we saw with the infants and everybody else, innocent people being taken out by such horrible action, I think he did the right thing. And I think it's going to give us a little bit of strength now with North Korea, with Russia, with all of the other countries that we have precarious relations with. And I'll take whatever comment off the air.
All right. Thank you so much for calling, Lauren. So, Nora, is this maybe a shot over the bow to warn other countries who may be thinking about getting into conflicts with the U.S. Over third-party places in the world that, you know, there's a new sheriff in town?
It's hard to see this particular airstrike as evidence of that. I mean, you know, as Lauren said, you know, the President Trump did run on a platform of being strong, although he did not approve of, you know, did not support intervening around the world. But again, because this was such an about face from what he had previously said, I don't think that this was just designed to send a signal to other countries we may be dealing with. The issue North Korea and elsewhere are very considerable, and even though this does project a U.S. image of strength, it was in response to what's essentially a humanitarian issue and a global norm, which are not the types of things that the president had talked about enforcing previously. So it may make some of our other potential adversaries, North Korea and so on, rethink how to approach the United States. I think it's difficult to argue that this was something that the president had staked a reputation on. It was challenged, and he had to be strong in response.
The United Nations was meeting today about the airstrikes. What came out of that?
I think that, you know, there wasn't a whole lot concrete that came out of it, as far as I'm aware. But, you know, anytime anything like this happens, and certainly with questions about what will happen next, the UN Security Council gets involved. It's a site for deliberations. You know, it's a place for great powers that disagree to air their frustrations. So I'm sure the Russians had quite something to say at the Security Council today, since they were dramatically opposed to this. But I'm not aware of anything that was concrete or agreed that will come out of this. Again, because we don't know if this is a one-off strike. It seems to be so far, but we don't know if it's going to involve a broader shift of U.S. policy or not.
Let's go back to the phones and Laura in Manitowoc. Hi, Laura.
Hi. I just want to express that I'm really surprised to hear anybody say that they're surprised at this action. I don't think it's in my imagination that Trump has been very clear about his posturing of being, you know, zero tolerance. He's not going to take anything from anybody. He specifically said that when it comes time for him to take military action, he's going to do it. There's not going to be any deliberation, not any consultation. He's just going to go off and do it. And that's exactly what he did in this case.
Thanks for that call, Laura. So, Nora, do you see this as kind of the Trump MO for going after problems?
Well, he certainly acted swiftly and decisively on this. But again, this was not something that he had staked any position out. I mean, you know, the caller said, you know, that when he said he was going to take military action, he would do it swiftly and decisively. The real surprise here is that he decided to do it in response to this, because it does not directly affect the territory of the United States, which was one of the criteria he laid out as a candidate. And it is about essentially enforcing a global norm. That is the global norm against
the use of that prohibits the use of chemical weapons, as in the Chemical Weapons Treaty. Again, as a candidate, Trump ran against the U.S. role in enforcing global norms and was seen as someone who was going to depart from the traditions that the United States has really held since the end of World War II in enforcing those norms. And yet, his first major military action, aside from some continued strikes against terrorists, this, you know, rather large military strike yesterday was done exactly for those things, and I think that's why it's surprising. I don't think anybody's surprised that having made the decision to act, he would do so swiftly and decisively. And the usual standard procedures of how military options are presented to the president and so on seem to be very consistent with what previous administrations have done. But I think it's the decision to react to this particular incident, as horrific as those images were, really does go against many things that he campaigned against and he had talked about. And that's the part where I think a lot of surprise has come in.
As we mentioned, Nora, part of the reason we already have a presence in Syria is because of ISIS. Briefly, do you see this as something that ISIS might try to capitalize on?
Well, I think this action actually makes it much harder for us to coordinate against ISIS. One of the things that, again, that Trump had said on the campaign trail and in the early days was that his top global priority was to defeat ISIS and that he was going to work with Bashar al-Assad to coordinate to do that, that the common interest with Assad over defeating ISIS trumped the other issues about regime change and the civil war. So this may actually complicate our ability to go after ISIS, at least for those elements that would have, where some amount of coordination with the Syrian regime may have proved effective.
Well, Nora, thanks so much for joining us today.
You're welcome.
Nora Bensahel is a distinguished scholar in residence at the School of International Service at American University. She joined us to talk about the U.S. airstrikes that were conducted last night in Syria and what the military actions could mean for U.S. foreign relations. You can continue the conversation about this over on the Central Time Facebook page. We'd love to hear what you think.